have a little bit of a that realization right now with the election that just happened. I see it, but I don't believe it. Maybe, I don't know. When I was a younger man growing up, some of you know that I was a little bit on the rough side. And so I lived my life sort of like a country song. Not the type of country song where, you know, my dog died and my wife died or, you know, nothing like that. But the country song that says that you work hard all week long and you whoop it up on the weekend and then on Sunday you go to church. That was pretty much summed up a lot of years of my life. And so when I entered into ministry a lot of years later, that reputation followed me. Even though I wasn't around those people anymore, my reputation came along with me. And I met a lot of people along the way who knew me in those earlier years. And they said to me, they said, I'll believe it when I see it. And frankly, I thought the same thing. I'll believe it when I see it. Because I didn't know what this was going to be all about. I said yes to God. And then I moved forward. And so even though I didn't know what it was all about, I was only going to believe it when I really saw it for myself. Today, in the text that Stuart read for you this morning, the disciples are in a room together. Their Savior had just passed away. Not their Savior, but their teacher and this companion and their leader and this one who loved them for 3+ years had just died on the cross. And he's been dead for some days now. In fact, a couple of days went by since he's gone. They just don't understand. They're shaking their heads. They're confused. What's going to happen now? What is all this going to lead to? What about our future? Are they going to come and kill us now too? Mary barges in the door. Mary Magdalene barges in the door and with this news. The Savior's gone. They've taken him. He's gone. I don't know where they put them. Where did they put him? And so Peter and John, the disciple whom Jesus loved, Peter and John, two of the disciples who were in Jesus' inner circle, who saw so many wonderful things, they were on the Mount of Transfiguration with Jesus. They saw Moses and Elijah, these guys saw. They ran to the tomb. I like to think that John's sort of bragging here a little bit because John says, I ran faster than Peter did. And John made it to the tomb first, but he didn't go in. He just took a peek in. And Peter ran, and being Peter in his very forward and just jump off the mountain type of way, just sort of ran right into the tomb, ducked his head and ran right in. And what did they see? Finally, John went in, and what did they see? Well, they saw strips of linen lying there. The strips of linen that were normally wrapped around a body after the body had been passed. You see, after the life of the person had passed. You see, Jesus was put in the tomb in a hurry because sundown was coming on Friday. And as soon as the sun set, as soon as 6 o'clock in the evening came, then it was considered the Sabbath day. And you can't work on that day. There's no working. And so by 6 o'clock that night, they had to have this thing sealed up and ready to go. And so there wasn't really time to prepare Jesus' body for a proper burial. But they wrapped him up quickly in the cloths, and they put a shroud over his head, or a shroud, or some say a napkin, and it's usually accompanied by a cloth that was tied under the chin or on top of the head, which kept the mouth closed. And that cloth was there too. And that's what these guys saw. And it's as if somebody had woken up from a deep sleep. And it's as if when they found the shred, the linens, it's as if somebody kicked them off really quick. Something like you would throw the Afghan off the couch after you got up from a nap. Well, that's the way it looks in my house anyway. But the shroud was placed differently. It was folded up and rolled up nicely and placed off to the side. Like after somebody got up, then they took off this shroud and placed it off to the side. This is what they saw. And the text says, seeing that, John believed. John saw and he believed. But it also says, at that point, that they didn't know that the scriptures, they didn't know all the scriptures. They didn't know that, as I look it up, they did not understand from scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. They didn't know all that at that point. And yet still, John believed. Doesn't say what Peter did. It said John believed. Now, this is an amazing statement, because what John saw was the amazing movement of Jesus, of the God, in that act of seeing that those claws lying there. He saw something that resembled something amazing. Some act of God happened here. And even though he didn't know it, even though he couldn't put his finger on it, even though he didn't know that Jesus had to rise from the dead yet, he saw that this had the fingerprints of God all over it. And he believed. If you read later on in John, you'll see the story of when Thomas comes in to the scene. So the disciples go back to their home, and they lock the door. And they're wondering about what happened. And in comes Jesus, right? Jesus comes into the room where they are all standing. And you can imagine the shock and the fear and all the emotions that go along with all of that. And they're going, and finally they need to be going, he is really alive. Jesus is really alive. And they're probably singing like we sang earlier, alive, alive, alive forevermore. Right? And they're jumping up and down. They're just, yes, yes, Jesus is alive. Of course, Jesus disappears at that point. It's sort of weird. Thomas walks in. And these guys are just, yes, Thomas, do you believe it? He's going, no, I don't. I don't believe that Jesus is alive. And you got to see the conversation that they'd have together. This persuasion that the disciples are going, yes, we all saw him. And there's got to be at least 10 of them that saw. And they're going, yes, we saw him, we saw him, we saw him. And Thomas is going, I don't believe you. It can't be true. In fact, Thomas is cross-armed at this point. And I'm going to call him cross-armed Thomas. Because he's like this. And he's going, unless I put my finger in his side and in the nail holes in his hands and in his feet, I'm not going to believe this. If you've been in this church for the last little while, we've been walking through the Apostles' Creed. Fran's got it posted up here for us all to see. The Apostles' Creed. And we've been walking through some pretty amazing statements that we say on a regular basis in churches. Maybe we should say it on a more of a regular basis, but we say the creed together, and we say some pretty fantastic stuff, some pretty incredible things. And one of those incredible things is that Jesus, and we talked about this a couple weeks back, is that Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. Jesus was conceived of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. And we talked about when we were talking about that, that these things are impossible. Because how can a spirit actually, who is essence, give birth to matter? And what does that look like for a virgin to give birth? That's impossible. That's impossible stuff. And then we compounded that by looking at his death last week, Jesus' death, where he suffered and was crucified, died and was buried. And we're going, how does that work? Because if Jesus is God, then how can God die? And what does that even look like? We are saying some pretty incredible things, folks, when we say the Apostles' Creed. Because we are saying that this is the truth. We believe this stuff. This is absolutely irrefutably true. And it's not just something that we conjured up on our own, but it's something that came out of Scripture. Sola Scriptura, for Reformation purposes. And so, but if you think that that is pretty fantastic, Jesus being born and his life, how it came to be, and then after his death, certainly his resurrection has got to sort of top that one. 3 days later, he rose from the dead. And so we could stand there alongside Thomas and go, cross-arm Thomas, by the way, and go, I don't believe it. I don't believe it. And yet we claim this stuff, that Jesus is risen from the dead. Back to our story. It was about a week of tension in the room with the disciples for Thomas. About a week. Thomas was there. He was defiant. No. And Jesus appears to the disciples again. And I can just see Jesus walking up to Thomas. Thomas. And at this time, Thomas is saucer-eyed and mouth wide open. Put your finger here. Put your hand in my side and stop doubting and believe. To Thomas, at that point, he said, my Lord and my God. What else could he say? Stop doubting and believed. What did Jesus say after that? Because you have seen me, he says, and you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed. I don't know if you know the story of Lee Strobel or not. Lee Strobel's a Christian author. Lee Strobel was an atheist. He was a writer for the Chicago Tribune a number of years ago, an investigative reporter for the Chicago Tribune. So his job dealt with criminal matters, criminal cases. He was in court a lot. He saw the legal system. He had a legal, logical mind. He saw things that were horrible and horrific, and he worked with the court system and with lawyers and judges, and he witnessed a lot. And this atheist, Lee Strobel, his wife came home one day and said, I've converted to Christianity. And as what happens many times in a situation like that, where we have one person in the marriage being a believer and the other person not being a believer, there's an automatic tension sometimes that happens. And that tension that happens is at the base fundamental worldview level where you look at things differently as a Christian and as a non-Christian. And Lee Strobel had that, and it got sprung upon him. So it was tense. So he figured that he was going to prove his wife wrong. Note to men, don't try to do that. Don't try to prove your wife wrong. Just nod and yes, okay, yes. So Lee dug into the scripture. He dug into the gospels. And he dug into all the scripture or all the writings that go along around the gospels, historical writings. And he found that actually what the four gospels say, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, what they say could stand up in a court of law today. These eyewitness accounts. So the accounts in the Bible or in the four gospels are either eyewitness or they are dictated from an eyewitness to a writer. And all four are worthy of being able to be defended in our court. This is actual evidence that would stand up in our courts today. And so Lee had no other recourse but to say, well, if this is true, this is the way that it is, then it must be true. And so he converted to Christianity too. And he wrote a number of books since, and one of them is called The Case for Christ. And you could get that in our library, by the way. Just a plug for the library real quick. I put it on the desk in the library. So go check it out. This, you see, Lee needed proof because he didn't see it right away. He needed proof positive. I need to know. I need to dig into this. I need to know for myself. And so he did the hard work. And so we have Thomas, or we have John, who saw and he believed at the close. And we have Thomas, who saw only when he saw the risen Christ himself. And when Jesus says, put your finger here and put your hand here and believe. And then we have Lee Strobel, who did some very hard and lengthy work trying to get to the bottom of where the Gospels were to debunk them, just finding that he couldn't do that. And so all of these saw in a certain way and believed. And I think that happens for most of us. We see and we believe and maybe it's partly because we come to church all the time. Maybe it's partly because we are part of a believing community. Maybe it's partly because we know the scriptures inside and out. And so God has worked in us through that way and say, okay. And so you say, I believe. But I think, and I may be wrong, and I hope I'm wrong, that many of us don't back up our faith with these statements. Let me recap. My fear is that many of us are just happy to not think about the amazing statements that we are making in our lives through the Apostles' Creed. We'd rather not say anything about what we're saying at all. We'd rather not think about it. We'd rather not deal with it a whole lot. We'd rather just say the words and move along. The same way that we come to church and leave and then we've checked off that box for the week. Because I don't know if you've actually paid attention or not, but whenever people say the Apostles' Creed in their lives or in church, many of us are more or less engaged in just saying the words and not engaged in what we're actually saying. The incredible words that we are saying that Jesus is risen from the dead is everything. Because when Jesus is risen from the dead, we have eternal life. Jesus is the one who paved that way for us to have eternal life with him. Without him rising from the dead, we don't know what we don't know if that's even possible. Rising bodily from the dead. We don't even know if that's possible. But Jesus being risen from the dead, having eyewitness accounts of him rising, and even more evidence that he was hungry. In certain gospels are saying, I'm hungry, which means that he wasn't a spirit. He wasn't risen in spirit, he's risen in body. And if he's risen in body, that means that we, you and I, believing in him, have a way to eternal life in our bodies too. Yes, this body will decay because of the effects of sin in this world. It will decay and it will die. My spirit will live on. But when Jesus comes again, our bodies will be renewed. And we will live in bodies because that's part of being human. We need bodies to live. We need substance. That's who we are. But I'm afraid that many of us just sort of say the words. We don't really believe it. Or we do. We just sort of say, yeah, you know, and we don't pay any thought to it. And I hope that you can, that if you're struggling with the true understanding of what it means to believe in Jesus Christ and to believe that he died, that he was born, that he died and was risen again, especially that he died for your sins and was risen again so that you could live with him forever, that you would truly see this in the light that it is, because it is amazing and it is unbelievable. And we can only believe it when we see it. Pray to God that he will show you it soon. Because there's going to be a day where Jesus will come back, as I just mentioned. And on that day, it's going to come unexpected, and we'll talk about that next week, I think. I think it's next week that we'll talk about that. And on that day, when Jesus returns, those who believe, it'll be for those who believe, it'll be the greatest day ever. For those who don't, it'll be the last day. Pray that Jesus will show you himself and that you too will come to understand and believe with all your heart these words that we will say in the Apostles' Creed. Fran, could you put this up for us now, please? Can we all stand and say the Apostles' Creed together? And we say with one voice, I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to hell. The third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please remain standing while we pray, and then we will sing a song of response afterwards. Lord God, we thank you that you have reminded us that of the extraordinary things that we are saying in the words that we just said. We thank you that you are inspiring us to have renewed vigor for you. We thank you, God, for working in our lives. And we pray, Lord, that you would continue to bless us as we are working on honoring you the way we should, with this awesome news that you are indeed risen from the dead. And we pray, Lord, for your blessing in our lives as we move forward from here. In Christ we pray. Amen. Let's sing a song of response.